And we've been talking about how there are two types of glory. We have what we call an inward glory that the Bible speaks of. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then we have what we call an outward glory, and that's the presence of God that comes down upon mankind because of a certain move of God. Now, what we're calling revival is not what the church is looking for. They're looking for a move of God. Revival belongs to the church. When the church is revived, men get saved. When the church is revived, the presence of God visits. Are you following me? We're talking about having revival, but revival doesn't belong to a street person or someone who's not saved. The presence of God is what brings them to salvation. Are you following me? But what God wants is revival in the church. He wants the church to come alive to Him. He wants the church to let Christ have the preeminence in their life. And that's what revival centers around. Somebody said to me one day, I forgot who it was, said, we're looking for revival. I says, no, I'm not. I found it. And they looked at me kind of strange, and they said, what do you mean you found it? I said, I'm revived. I says, I'm on fire for God. I fellowship with Him every day. I love Him. I'm turned on, aren't you? Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, right. Good football game would take that guy out. Nothing against football games, you guys. But revival belongs to a believer. If a believer gets revived, he'll bring the presence of God. Why do you think there was always a move of God when one man did it? Well, that's not revival, people. These people on the streets didn't get saved because they were revived. They were saved as a result of revival in one man's heart. I meant the Welch revival was powerful. But it's not a Welch revival. It is one man who was revived in God, got on his knees in a coal mine, and brought the presence of God on flesh. I meant these guys were walking down the street going into a pub and the presence of God fell on them and they ran to church. Well, that wasn't because that guy was revived. It's because the guy went and got saved from the presence of God falling on him. So what we're looking for is a move of God, the presence of God, on the world that is lost and dying. Well, you know, this church sometimes is so educated, it don't know how to say hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
The little one shall lead us. Hallelujah. It's the presence of God that we hunger and thirst for. Are you following me? On lost humanity. If you're revived, your example will crave men to go after what you got. It'll crave men to go after what you got. Well, that's a good amen. If you can't say amen, say oh me. Open up to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to implore you today. Please, pay close attention to what I'm going to share with you today. This will begin to bring a change in your life. We talked about this inward glory. And people don't understand what that glory is. I have told you the word for glory is the word doxa. It literally means what a person essentially is and does. But I want to add something to this understanding that might help you. When you use the word glory, you're referring directly to the nature of man. The nature of man. So when you look at the glory of a man, his nature brought forth that glory. Movie stars, they have a glory about them. they have also a nature that brought forth that glory. Did you know that it's a proven fact that Hitler had a glory about him that people did not understand? When he opened his mouth, the nature that was driving him brought many souls to eternal damnation through that glory. He spoke with an anointing. And you know there is an anointing on the wicked. You'll find it in their music. There's an anointing on them. We always seem to think there's anointing on the believer only. But listen, there's an anointing on the unbeliever. Over in Psalms and Proverbs, it talks about an anointing being upon the wicked. You see. And we have to be careful what glory we're referring to. There's only one glory that you and I are to be conformed to, and that is the glory of God within us. Now, here's what we don't understand about the glory of God in us. This is something that the church is failing to bring forth in understanding. And we find it a very interesting statement here in Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to go to verse 2. Well, we can go to verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Notice, in trespasses and sins. Isn't that interesting? You know, the word trespasses means to move into an area you don't belong. Trespassing means an area that belongs to another person you just walk into without their permission. Where sins is a personal missing the mark, especially with God. So he says trespasses and sins. It means that before you got saved or born again, you had within you the ability to trespass, and sin. Then he goes on to say, the writer, wherein time past ye walked, meaning in time past. In time past. Now notice this. According to the course of this world. The word for course of this world is actually age of this system or cosmos. According to the prince of the power of the air, and notice it's a small p, and what he is, actually this word prince is referring to, of the power of the air, means a commander of lower spiritual powers. It means there's a principality in the system, operating in the system of this world. Are you following me? There is a principality, a power, a system that is operating in this world through a principality, a power. Now notice what it says. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. What in the world is he referring to? The spirit of disobedience, meaning the life in nature, the fallen life in nature, as literally at work in the hearts of men, through that principality or power. You know, most people say, I just can't get over how I was raised by my parents. I just can't get over it. I try real hard, and I tried real hard, and I just can't seem to break loose. Well, what keeps a person that way? Well, first of all, it's how they're programmed. It's how they're programmed. They can either be free or they can be a prisoner. Now, follow me real close today, because if you get a hold of this, you'll be as free as I am. If that's good. Now, notice this. Among whom also we had our conversation. Actually, in the Greek, it's conducted ourselves in the lust or desires of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're, notice this, by nature, the children of wrath, even as the rest. Notice this, everything was in time, or we were. Well, let's find out what in times past we no longer are, or what we were that we are not now. Okay? Here it goes.
What we were in times past is we were sinners trespassing people's lives, missing the mark with God that we're not doing now.
Yep. I know what some of you are thinking. Because you are a trespasser in somebody's life that you don't belong. Because you are missing the mark with God now that you shouldn't be missing the mark with. Well, how am I going to get rid of this? Thank God for Pastor Butler's message spawned in my heart by the Holy Ghost to reproduce into your life. Amen. You're going to get the answer. A lot of Christians don't want the answer. They seem to think they do, but they want the answer according to what they believe rather than what the Holy Ghost transposes into our life. Right. Now notice this. We're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Why do you think he used the word wrath? Because it depicts the nature of the devil. It worked in the heart of a person that's not born again. Satan's nature is motivated by wrath. That's his delight. Thank God we're not motivated by that anymore. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Are you guys plugged into me today? Good, I'm glad you are. Now, I want you to know it says, and we're by nature the children. It means that we're no longer by that nature. We're no longer by that nature. If you get a hold of it, you know, this hasn't been all that much when I'm coming from this direction, been alive in me until recently, just recently. I want you now to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I want us to go to verse 11. 1 Corinthians 2:11. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now let's read this verse again. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now let me give you the understanding of this verse. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the nature of man which is in him? The nature of man which is in him. The nature of man which is in him. When he used the word spirit, he was referring to a nature. Guess what? We don't have that spirit anymore. It's not working in us in a form of disobedience. Why? Because we're no longer a children of wrath. Amen. Because we no longer have that nature in us. Yes. And church, through their condemnation preaching, has not allowed us to see what nature we now possess in God. Because they've locked us up in what we thought we still were. I went up to a lady that was getting out of her car. She had a bumper sticker. And I said, I perceive you're a believer. She said, yes. I said, I can tell by your bumper sticker. She looked at it and she says, yeah, I know. I said, but that's a lie. You should have seen the look on her face. She went, how can that be a lie? I says, you're not an old sinner saved by grace. I said, you're a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Old sinner passed away. Behold, you have become a new creature in Christ Amen. Jesus. Amen. I had the anointing of God all over me. And she looked at me like a cow looking at a new gate. You know what I mean by that? You know how cows will go down a certain path? And let's say a cow's going down this certain path, and all of a sudden you build a gate there. And the cow goes down this certain path, and they'll stop, and they'll sit there and stare at that gate. This should not be here. This gate should not be here. Gate, go away. That's just how a cow looks at that gate. She had no idea what I was talking about in the man, and yet she should know what I'm talking about. Her background was Pentecostal holiness. And yet, they don't even have the concept of what true holiness is. What is true holiness? You've been born from above. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Guess what? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. How is that possible? Because you were once by nature a child of wrath. You are no longer a participator of. You don't have a spirit of disobedience now working in your life. You have a new spirit. You have a new life and nature that has been deposited in your spirit. Now, are you ready? There's only one way that nature is going to be developed. Are you ready? It comes to development through the soul. If the soul never gets saved, you'll never develop the God nature that you are in you. Are you getting something here? That's why verse 11, you have to understand that. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man, or the life, or the nature of man, which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. And that's not referring to the Holy Ghost. They had the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament. Why couldn't they still comprehend God? Because they were not born again. They didn't have the life and nature of God. Their thoughts were immovable. Right. For even when the law was read, it said, when the law was read by Moses, their thoughts were immovable. Why? They didn't have the life and nature of God in them. And God couldn't hardly wait for the firstborn to come along and be spawned out of the loins of a virgin in Bethlehem, so that he then could get as many born again after him. Woo! Glory to God! Do I look all right? I was listening to a minister this morning. He says the problem with the church is they're not aware of demon spirits. Liar! Demon spirits is not suppressing the church. Then what is our worst enemy? Your own brain. Because either the life of God will flow off of your mind, or the life of the devil will flow off your mind. But the one that is control of his soul is you. Now you can excuse it away all you want to, but you're the one that's going to have to face you. I said, God, I want to be more spiritual this year. How do I do that? He said, it's simple, son. I said, let me have it, God. Boy, I find out why fellowshipping with him does not work for flesh. Are you ready? He said, okay, you're going to go deeper in me this year. Thank you, Father. He says, now wait a minute. He says, you've got to die more. Isn't that weird? You want to go further with God? look forward to dying more. That doesn't make sense to the natural mind. Somebody says, I've been purged. I look at this. I died, therefore I am purged. I'll never forget what one brother in my congregation told me one day. He's hem-hawing around. He looks at me. You know, change is hard. I said, this guy's getting revelation. Change is not easy. Especially when you defend something you need to change. And the only way you're going to change it is for God to get truth in you about yourself. And until you get truth about yourself, you'll never change for somebody else. And the first truth that I had to come to the revelation of is that God was not the preeminence in my life. 11 years ago, he brought me that revelation. You're being a pastor, but I am not the preeminence in your life. And I said, well, what's the first sign, God? He says, I have no fellowship with you on a daily basis. You treat your wife like that, which you kind of do. He says, then you're going to treat God that way. Yep. Now notice it says, by nature. Now notice verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Verse 10 has been told us, which is a lie, that that's referring to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost doesn't search the deep things of God that he has. Because if you look at God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus, they're all co-equal. They're all one in essence. They know everything. Yep. Now, why would he give us a verse to tell us that the Holy Ghost that searches all the deep things of God? No, it's because you now have a spirit that has been given of God by that nature. You now have the capacity to know and comprehend God because you now have that nature in your spirit. And it's your spirit that has to search out the deep things of God. And the Holy Ghost's job is to reveal what your spirit searches out. Amen. Boy, thank God I was delivered from my soul at getting revelation from God. But that's the hardest thing to do is park your brain and leave it out when you're trying to get some kind of insight from God. Thank God I know how to do it now. I know how that mind comes. And it comes through that nature that he's given us in our spirit. If it came by the Holy Ghost, then why didn't the Old Testament believers believe God by that nature? Because they didn't have it. Some of them patriarchs, did you know what? They served God. David was a man after God's own heart. But in the natural, he was wacko. In many areas. But he had a heart for God. And you know his secret? Is that no matter where he was at in life, whether he's in the presence of God or out of fellowship with God, or whether no matter where he was at, he said he learned one thing. He says, for me to be successful in God, I got to turn my eyes back on myself and say, if there's any evil in me, Lord, open it up. Which brings up an interesting point. Turn over to Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Let me give you a little history on the book of Galatians. The providence of Galatia was a bunch of churches, four of them to be exact, that Paul fostered. Not none of the other apostles, just Paul. He kindled these churches. Got them in the spirit of the law of liberty. Got them turned on to God. The Judaizers came in. The church fell from Christianity to Judaism. And one of the apostles was their leader in helping them do this. And Paul comes in, and he says something. Having begun in the Spirit, you're now made perfect through flesh. Listen, You were by nature a children of wrath because you served your former way of thinking and you served your flesh. You know, the sheer ability to determine whether or not you're following God is when it's easy on your flesh. That's why a lot of people attend churches that are basically spiritually dead because they don't have a spiritual attunement there. Their flesh is telling them what's right from what's wrong. But if they went by an inner witness, they wouldn't be where they're at. Oh, if it wasn't for my pastor, I wouldn't be where I'm at. Baloney. It has nothing to do with your pastor. It has everything to do with you. If my church would just do. Baloney. Your church doesn't have to do nothing. You can do it all for yourself in Christ. Now notice this. In Galatians 4:19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, till Christ be formed in you. This is a very interesting word, till Christ be formed in you. I like what W.E. Vine said about this forming. He says the word forming refers not to external, but to inward and real. It's expressing the necessity of a change in character and conduct to correspond with an inward spiritual condition. What? Did you know we have a lot of fancy sermons? We got a lot of poor examples for believers because they don't know how to develop their spiritual being that's already there. Well, here's the key. You got to deal with what we call not the image of Christ that has been formed in you. Are you ready? You might as well make note of this. You've got to learn what to do with your old self-image. Somebody asked me, Pastor, what is it that I need to do to be successful? I thought it was great because I need to know the same thing. I cried out it so hard the last 3 weeks. Things have got to change. I got to be more successful. And this is what he shared with me. He says, when you discover the life and nature of God that has the capability to go at work within you, he said, then Christ in you, that's what he's referring to, that life and nature of the Spirit of Christ that you inherited in you will take over and you will succeed no matter what comes against you. Christians were not designed to be failures. We're designed to succeed in God, not to fail in Him. But listen, success is not attached to anything external. Success in life is attached to everything that you are internally. And church today, word churches are telling us, you want to have success in life, drive a bigger car, get a bigger house, have more abundance in this natural realm, and that's the spirit of error. Success is not having more. Success is having peace in God, in Him, and ruling over this natural realm by a new nature that God has given you. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Oh, man. You know, I can see that old nature at work with my grandchildren. Because when kids are born in this world, they're not born spiritually lit, they're spiritually dead. That's why you have to train them up. Get them born again. Little kids, they have a knack for pronouncing dirty words. What is it about kids? What is it? Because it's that nature that's within them. They don't have to be taught, they can just hear it. And do it. I've never heard a little kid who's subject to bad language in church ever say, well, praise the Lord. Now, I know that children are. I know that there are children that do that. But they're few and far between.
Why? Because they have the life and nature of the devil in them. And that's why you have to put children under law to raise them properly in order to get them to a place that when they get to the point of their own accountability for life, they'll choose God. Now, notice he said here, he says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. And notice what he said about the Galatian church. He said, actually, the children of me. He was saying that you are my children because I birthed you into the kingdom of God. Now he says, now I'm back in travail. I'm back in birthing pains again because something happened to you. You were brought into the kingdom of God by that new life and nature, and you fell from the new life and nature and went into the works of the flesh. Somebody said, is the Ten Commandments? Are they done away with, Pastor? I said, no. Ten Commandments ain't done away with. It just relocated itself. Oh, really? Yeah. I says it was on stone, etched on stone. The problem was the stone was not in the heart of men. And God moved it from the stone etching to the fleshly tablets of a person's heart. Now he writes his laws in us by that new nature and that new life that we'll know how to understand and comprehend the things of God. That's why a lot of people don't know the Holy Ghost from the man in the moon. Because the Holy Ghost has been given to your spiritual being, the life of the inward man. He's not been given to your head, your soul. He's been given to your spirit. Until you unlock the secret of how to kill the soul and let the spirit give and bring forth life, you'll never develop spiritually. Whew. I got so excited over the born again tapes. I shared it with one brother. So I knew all that. I said, you don't. Simply because you said, I knew all that. I says, you get and listen to tapes again until you get it. He went and listened to them again. And he came back and he went, oh, Lord, I'm hearing what he's saying. It's because you finally listened. You don't take things for granted when it comes to the Word of God, people. You have to pay close attention to it. Now notice this. Colossians 1:9. Turn there. In Colossians 1:9 it says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you may be filled with all the knowledge of His will in all wisdom, notice this, and spiritual understanding. And spiritual understanding. And spiritual understanding. Now, if you will, you know in 1 Peter chapter 2, I think it's at verse 1, it says that you are to desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. Let me ask you something. Does milk belong to someone who should be mature? What does milk belong to? I know some people that think they're mature that need milk. Because when you feed milk to somebody, it's someone who got a revelation of just coming out of the womb and need mentors to feed them. The first sign of rebellion is people when they come against authority, when they don't respect spiritual authority. And Paul was not respected in his day as spiritual authority. But yet no other man spent more time in prayer than him. Now, a man's nature is what emanates his mindset. A man's nature is what emanates his mindset. You know what I mean by mindset? A lot of people don't understand mindset. I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 22. I want to share something with you in closing. Matthew 22. And we're going to continue on next week. Are you guys getting something? Okay. In Matthew chapter 22, let's go to verse 36. Now, this is where I need you to pay close attention to me before I cut you loose. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? They're looking for a great commandment. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul,
and with all thy mind. This is the first great commandment. Now, they were looking for one, were they not? Everybody hold up one finger and say with me, they were looking for one commandment.
They were looking for one commandment.
Jesus gives them two.
Yep.
Are you ready? Notice this. Now, pay attention to me. Real close. Notice, the second is likened unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you know, until just recently, I could not break the next commandment in my understanding about loving myself to correlate with my neighbor. I said, God, what does that mean? And I struggled with that, and I struggled with it, and I struggled with it. I got to learn to love myself before I can love my neighbor. And I've seen Christians who just love themselves. Boy, they would go to no lengths to get their flesh blessed because they so love themselves. But you get that kind of believer in the midst of tribulation, they fall apart like a cheap watch. Why? Because their whole life is centered around self. Less pressure. Selfless pressure.
Well, does that mean we got to go and look for pressure?
No, it'll come without you looking for it. The trouble is, where does it drive you? Does it drive you to that which doesn't give opposition, or does it drive you to a place of opposition? Well, the opposition better be the kingdom of God at work in your heart. Now, notice this. He says, the second is likened unto it. In the Greek, it means par equal. Par equal. In other words, there is no such thing as one command. If you're going to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, you're going to love your neighbor as yourself. Notice it didn't say, as you love God. It says, as you love yourself. You know what I found out about living with your neighbor? If you don't love yourself, you're not going to love your neighbor.
True.
So the key is, how do I love myself? I'll tell you how to love yourself by getting yourself in line with what God is.
Yep.
As a result of having Him first, then you can love your neighbor.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now, I want you to follow this real closely here. Notice this. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Listen, if you're not happy with yourself, you'll never be happy with your neighbor. Because whatever is bound in your heart and you're not free from, you'll bind somebody up in law. You'll not be free with them. I'm learning how the nature of God thinks versus the nature of what my life used to have. You see, I found that now very clear. It's getting clearer to me how I think with my self-image, and I'm thinking with the image of God, and that's a mixture, and God wants you to separate those two thinking. Well, then, Pastor, how does God think? It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Trouble is, we've never gotten into that powerful chapter. Why? Because it centers itself around the life and nature of God that's in you, and your soul still wants to cut in on it at the expense of people. Now notice, you mean to tell me the only way I'm going to love my neighbor as myself is that I have to be free from myself? Yes, you have to get away from what you are programmed by according to this world.
Right.
Now, next Sunday morning, we're going to come in and we're going to identify the attributes of our self-image that we inherited from this world. And then we're going to identify the Spirit of Christ, which is the nature of God that you have inherited. Give you a little key. The church has not defined where eternal life begins. It begins on planet Earth for eternity. It doesn't begin in eternity for planet Earth. It begins on planet Earth for eternity. That's how we know the Spirit of truth from the spirit of error. Because if there is a spirit, a nature that is teaching you through this temporary, corruptible world for eternal life, it's the wrong spirit. It's got to teach you according to that which is to be lived eternally, to sanctify you and separate you from that which is temporal. 1 John. Boy, if I had a thirst for God, I'd be here 1 John every night, like some of you are. I don't know how many of you come in and say, "My God, does the church got this?" I say, "You are. You better not miss God." Because everything that you're going to be rewarded for is what has been transformed in you spiritually, not soulishly. A lot of Christians are going to go to heaven. They're going to thank God for all the souls they won. And yet didn't bring one of those souls to transformation. And God ain't going to give them credit for one of them. He's going to give it credit for where credit's due. Yeah, you brought all these people into the kingdom of God, but you didn't bring them to maturity. Because you see, now I see conversion just as important as bringing them to maturity. Why would you bring them to conversion and leave them twice the son of hell they was? That's no different than a Jew. Did you guys get something here? Next week, we're going to identify the attributes of your own self-image you got from this world. And you might find you're still walking in some of it. Because your self-image means what you formed or deformed about yourself. That self-image works through what might be what others think about you. I know some Christians live because of what other people think about them. Well, there's a whole lot of good stuff we're going to learn. We're going to find out what the glory of God really is on the inside. The glory of God that's inside of us is the life and nature of God given to us. That's the glory of God in us. I can define it now. It's His life and nature in my spirit. Now I got to get it over into my soul so I can let it shine out. Did you guys get something here today? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.